Billy and Lazaro and poor old Edgar Derby crossed the prison yard to the theater now. Billy was carrying his little coat as though it were a lady's muff. It was wrapped around and around his hands. He was the central clown in an unconscious travesty of that famous oil painting, The Spirit of 76. Edgar Derby was writing letters home in his head, telling his wife that he was alive and well, that she shouldn't worry, that the war was nearly over, that he would soon be home. Lazaro was talking to himself about people he was going to have killed after the war, and rackets he was going to work, and women he was going to make fuck him, whether they wanted to or not. If he had been a dog in a city, a policeman would have shot him and sent his head to a laboratory to see if he had rabies. So it goes. As they neared the theater, they came upon an Englishman who was hacking a groove in the earth with the heel of his boot. He was marking the boundary between the American and English sections of the compound. Billy and Lazaro and Derby didn't have to ask what the line meant. It was a familiar symbol from childhood. The theater was paved with American bodies that nestled like spoons. Most of the Americans were in stupors or asleep. Their guts were fluttering, dry. "Close the fucking door," somebody said to Billy. "Were you born in a barn?" Billy closed it, took a hand from his muff, touched a stove. It was as cold as ice. The stage was still set for Cinderella. Azure curtains hung from arches which were shocking pink. There were golden thrones in the dummy clock whose hands were set at midnight. Cinderella's slippers, which were airman boots painted silver, were capsized side by side under a golden throne. Billy and poor old Edgar Derby and Lazaro had been in the hospital when the British passed out blankets and mattresses, so they had none. They had to improvise. The only space open to them was up on the stage, and they went up there, pulled the azure curtains down, made nests. Billy, curled in his azure nest, found himself staring at Cinderella's silver boots under a throne, and then he remembered that his shoes were ruined, that he needed boots. He hated to get out of his nest, but he forced himself to do it. He crawled to the boots on all fours, sat, tried them on. The boots fit perfectly. Billy Pilgrim was Cinderella, and Cinderella was Billy Pilgrim. Somewhere in there was a lecture on personal hygiene by the head Englishman, and then a free election. At least half the Americans went on snoozing through it all. The Englishman got up on the stage, and he rapped on the arm of a throne with a swagger stick, called, "Lads, lads, lads! Can I have your attention, please?" And so on. What the Englishman said about survival was this: if you stop taking pride in your appearance, you will very soon die. He said that he had seen several men die in the following way. They ceased to stand up straight, then ceased to shave or wash, then ceased to get out of bed, then ceased to talk, then died. There is this much to be said for it. It is evidently a very easy and painless way to go. So it goes. The Englishman said that he, when captured, had made and kept the following vows to himself: to brush his teeth twice a day, to shave once a day, to wash his face and hands before every meal and after going to the latrine, to polish his shoes once a day, to exercise for at least half an hour each morning and then move his bowels, and to look into a mirror frequently, frankly evaluating his appearance, particularly with respect to posture. Billy Pilgrim heard all this while lying in his nest. He looked not at the Englishman's face, but at his ankles. "I envy you, lads," said the Englishman. Somebody laughed. Billy wondered what the joke was. "You lads are leaving this afternoon for Dresden, a beautiful city, I'm told. You won't be cooped up like us. You'll be out where the life is, and the food is certain to be more plentiful than here. If I may inject a personal note, it has been 5 years now since I have seen a tree or a flower or a woman or a child or a dog or a cat or a place of entertainment or a human being doing useful work of any kind. You needn't worry about bombs, by the way. Dresden is an open city. It is undefended and contains no war industries or troop concentrations of any importance. Somewhere in there, old Edgar Derby was elected head American. The Englishman called for nominations from the floor, and there weren't any. So he nominated Derby, praising him for his maturity and long experience in dealing with people. There were no further nominations, so the nominations were closed. "All in favor?" two or three people said. "Aye." Then poor old Derby made a speech. He thanked the Englishman for his good advice, said he meant to follow it exactly. He said he was sure that all the other Americans would do the same. He said that his primary responsibility now was to make damn well sure that everybody got home safely. "Go take a flying fuck at a rolling donut," murmured Paul Lazaro in his azure nest. "Go take a flying fuck at the moon."